You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Last week you weren't here, Skulk, because you had a PSG Wealth conference. Did that go well?
Very well. Yeah, no, very, very well. Always very, very enlightening speaking to some of my fellow colleagues and solving some of the world's financial problems. And yeah, no, it was a very, very, very a positive get-together. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Excellent. I won't ask you what conclusions you came to, because conclusions are, in my opinion, probably redundant the next day, because and this week's markets and the last even 24 hours markets have been testament to that statement I've just made. Oil price, inflation in the United States, S&P 500 down 1.5%. But I want to start in South Africa, if I can. Anglo-American platinum. Surely this provides some sort of opportunity somewhere. An extraordinary day for one of our key companies.
Bad to worse. I mean, these platinum counts have been under pressure. You know, you fall out of the one of the main index, and you get a minus 11% day. So, yeah, no, it's a toughie. It's a toughie. But to your original question, do I think it's an opportunity? Yes, I do think it's an opportunity. I think these platinum counters has been under I've been under massive pressure already. And yeah, I do think that there's some opportunity when you get a movement, sort of a natural movement. I mean, this is a lot of fund managers just preempting, following a index now. No need to have this share in the, and sort of preempting the move. So yeah, I think it's an opportunity.
Looking at the graph, which I was earlier on with a previous interviewee, 2,255 or something was the closing high a number of years ago. It's currently around about 5150, let's call it, whatever it is. No, what am I talking about? 2,250 down to 515. Platinum is still needed, I think. I think people are being too bearish, and it's also caught up in the general malaise when it comes to commodities, oil price in particular, which we'll talk about in a moment. Is it a perfect storm on the downside, and are people capitulating, and therefore people like you, patient people, will say, now's the opportunity to get in?
Yeah, this do attract my interest. And I know, I mean, people say, well, then let's go out and buy. We need to know that there's a few things happening in here. We've had the whole EV space, on PGMs. We've got a global economic slowdown, not a real recession yet. And it's just sort of bad news upon bad news upon bad news for the PGM counters. But when I look at a share price, I mean, you just mentioned another 11% down today. Yeah. That brings the year-to-date performance on this company over 50%. When something loses half of its value, I mean, you looked at the highs. I just looked at January.
Yeah.
January, this company lost pretty much another half of its value. So then something do attract me. And I think you might need to be patient, might need to not go in, all in. These counters are what we call cyclicals. And for good reason. I mean, something that can lose 50% of its value in a few months' time, and then just gain it, that is extremely cyclical and extremely volatile. But yeah, I do think it is something that's always going to be needed. I don't think the EV space is going to be slap bang, there we go, every one of us are going to be driving electric vehicles. And clearly the hybrid model is something that's going to be tested for quite some time, which is good for platinum or palladium, PGMs.
Quite right too. So yeah, it's worth watching, but after a little bit of considered analysis, I would say. I think that's what you're saying here. Have a look at it, but don't get too carried away until the whole Anglo-American unbundling process has been done, don't you think? I mean, that's obviously a cloud in the background, and corporate activity, that's also a factor, Skulk.
Yeah, it's overhang. I mean, it's an overhang of shares. You know, suddenly, you know, Anglo-American shareholders will have, you know, these Anglo-American Platinum shares. And for those, let's call it larger investors that might have Impala Platinum, Northam, you know, Sibanye, one of those counters, they might look at this and say, well, let's consolidate, you know, sell the Platinum, buy some more, some of the other companies. Be that as it may. I mean, there's a few things. I mean, you said it, you started off, it's the perfect storm. Do I think this is a bad company, Amplats? No, I think it's one of the best PGM counters in the world. It's one of the largest PGM counters or companies in the world, mines in the world. So, yeah, I think this do you know, open up some opportunities, but it will be firstly for how do they always say it's not for widows and orphans?
Also, Sibanye Stillwater is not for widows and orphans. I was just looking at a share price at 2022, I think, under the stewardship of its still CEO, Neil Froneman. 75 rand a share. It's now down to today. What is that? Sibanye Stillwater, 5.5% down today. 14 rand a share from 75 odd to 14. Horrendous destruction of wealth.
Yeah, it's sad. it's sad. Yeah, what else to say? I mean, you mentioned the value destruction. It's definitely value destruction. I think there's a few shareholders that would like to go back to early 2022 now and just you know, take those profits where they could run about the 60, 65 rand levels.
You talk a lot about property, and you've made no secret of the fact that you are long of property stocks on the JSE. Growthpoint. You must be interested in those results because they still warn about high interest rates, Skulk. What did you make of these results and the commentary associated with those results?
Well, this is a sector that's been extremely kind to us. I mean, this is something. I mean, you and I have had this conversation.
You've done well. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, but it's something for good reason, and I don't think the whole all you know, trade is over. Well, let's call it the reason why I am overweight in property. I mean, yesterday I went and I updated that Stats SA sheet. Now, for those listeners that's listened to this for the first time, this explanation, Stats SA produce on a monthly basis, they will produce different stats on residential and non-residential properties.
Yeah.
The one that interests me is the non-residential one, the office space, the shopping centers, industrial, all the non-residential properties. And what they say there's a stat that they give that says non-residential properties completed by the period. Now, what does that mean? It means you draw up your plans, you go and build that specific property. You know, somebody comes along and they sign that property off. They send it to the municipality, and the municipality said that property is completed. Now, when you look at this stat, this stat is phenomenal. It's really so interesting looking at the stats. When you look at the stats, you will see early 2000s, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty around South Africa. We had, in 1994, the whole Madiba magic. And then we had a change of God, and people were sort of a little bit worried. We also had extreme worries globally on recessions. We had worries on wars, geopolitical unrest. Remember, we had 9/11, and after that, it was Afghanistan war, and then Iraq war. There was uncertainty, and people, and during that, you know, space, we had high interest rates, and they just did not develop. They didn't develop new properties, and people were looking at this and say, well, yeah, for good reason, but sooner or later, this is going to pass as well, and then what we're going to have, we're going to sit with a massive demand and not enough stock. There's not going to be enough supply. So you and I had this conversation, I think, a year ago.
Yeah.
And I said, look at this. People are going back to offices. They're going back to shopping centers. This work in your pajamas is gone, something of the past. And yet, were they not completing enough offices, they're not completing enough shopping centers, yet the demand is increasing. Well, surprise, surprise, now we're starting to see it. Now we're seeing, I mean last night, we're part of a conversation with the CEO of Attack. They brought out their results yesterday, and they exactly had the same story. They bought some properties, and they now clearly can see the demand increasing at a speed of light.
What are they doing there, Scott? Sorry to interrupt. Are they taking old buildings that haven't been occupied? I mean, for example, the old Sassel building in Rosebank springs to mind years and years ago when they relocated to Santon, I think it was. Are they taking buildings that used to be offices and up until now have not been offices and saying, rather than build a new one, we're going to completely revamp this one? How do they go about adjusting to the new we're going back to work mode?
That's the problem, Lindsay. I mean, they'll need to. I mean, I know of a very big. I'm not going to mention the company's name because it was sort of a. It's just a conversation we had with some of these. You know, let's call it decision makers. But it's a big listed company, and they during let's call it 2 years ago, sort of the post COVID, they literally. Moved all their smaller branches, moved it into these larger clusters, and they closed these offices because they said, "Well, people, they'll, you know, you will work on a Wednesday and a Friday, and your mates sitting next to you, you will work on a Monday, and this is how we're going to do it." Now everybody's going back to the office, and there's just not enough office space. They're frantically looking around and say, "Well, we need office space." But as you mentioned, the only thing that's currently available is older offices, older buildings. You know, some of these companies that's held by Growthpoint, High Props, the attacks, these companies, suddenly the net asset value of these properties are increasing again, and the yields as well. So do I think let's call it the old property investment play is over in terms of South Africa? No, not at all. I still think the yields are attractive, and you know, stock is very, very, very depleted.
Quite right, too. And after the inflation data from the United States, which peaked recently, as Donald Trump keeps on reminding us, he doesn't remind us of the number because he's not clever enough to remember the number, but it was 9.1% CPI in the United States of America. It's fallen today on the CPI announcement from the United States of America, the world's biggest economy, down to 2.5%, coming close to target range. And that must be good for global capital markets worldwide, including South Africa. So very good news there, Skulk.
No, that's not getting close. That is bang on target. I mean, we know that Powell said he wants to see inflation back to 2.5%. It was interesting. I this morning had this conversation with my team, and I said, because there's a nice tool, the CME Fed tool, where they look at the probabilities of rate cuts. And they'll, for instance, look at the different meetings. And this, in terms of this one, it's now the 18th of September. Then they will look at different probabilities on will we see a cut, will we see an unchange? You know, and if we see a cut, what's the probability of a quarter percentage? What's the probability of half a percentage? But this morning, as we came in, it stood round about. There was a bit of an improvement towards the quarter of a percent, but it stayed more or less the 70% probability for a quarter of a percent and 30% probability for a half a percent. Hmm. And for any non-mathematicians out there, that's pretty much 100% probability for a rate cut next week, you know, Wednesday.
Yes.
This afternoon, I made the comment and said, well, it'll be interesting, although I can pretty much say with 100% probability from my personal opinion that we'll see a quarter of a percent. I think if the inflation rate comes out at 2.5%, because remember, it was expected 2.6%. If it comes out 2.5%, watch how the probability on a half a percentage suddenly just skyrockets. And it just didn't. It's a totally different scenario happened. It went the quarter percent increased again, and now 83% probability for a quarter percent hike and 17% on a half percent. But to me, the most surprising part was the market's reaction, you know, after inflation came out. Man, oh man, they're taking an almighty club today.
I know, we've got the S&P down, the S&P futures down 1.5%, well, down 1.3% actually, it's just adjusted itself. But I don't quite understand that. And looking at the US 10-year bond, which we'll come to in a moment, but just tell you now, 3.62%. Yeah, but the stock market not taking it well. Maybe the stock market isn't taking it well because of the debate last night. And if Kamala Harris gets in, which I really hope from a personal point of view, and this is not a PSG Wealth point of view, I have to tell you, if she gets in, I'll be very happy, but the stock market won't be. Maybe they're anticipating a victory in 2 months' time and are positioning themselves accordingly, Skulk. I don't know. Did you watch the debate? I've watched it twice.
I had clips. I must say, I just did not get myself. I was awake once or twice around about 3 o'clock, and yeah, I just did not get myself to listen to Trump for the next few hours of that time in the morning. But I did look at a few of the highlights.
Yes.
I don't know, Lindsay. We can have a massive debate on which one will be best for South Africa. You know, Kamala Harris or Trump. We know Trump won't necessarily be good for emerging markets. So I don't know. It's sort of the lesser of two evils. Be that as it may, you've got a good point. I think that could be the. But I think the most likely scenario for today's movement was just and yesterday on X, that's the old Twitter. I actually placed a graph which I looked at the last few times where interest rates were cut, let's call it the declining phase started.
Yes.
And I just mentioned, I didn't make a prediction. I didn't say this is going to happen. All I said, if you exclude COVID, which was a sort of a very, very unique situation, if you exclude COVID, you're sitting with 2001 and 2007. Where they actually stopped the hiking phase for that, let's call it few months, we had one of the best bull phases because everyone was expecting the next step to be interest rate being, you know, a cut, and that should be good for you know, equities. So there was sort of this, how's the rumor go? Buy on rumor, sell on fact. It was the anticipation of the rate cuts were way better than the actual rate cuts, because when you look at the rate cuts itself, and you look at the after effect, you would see that with 2001, where the rate cut actually started, market dropped 32%. With the world financial crisis, where the rate cut actually started, the S&P 500 dropped 41%.
Yeah, but there was extraneous factors there. I mean, people were still digesting the global financial crisis, and it took a while for the cheaper money phase to kick in. And that is my analysis, very simple as it is. But this time, Skulk, it could be a shallow recession, as indicated by the oil price. It could be a short, sharp recession, as indicated by Chinese and American data. But the fact is that interest rates, medium term, on the downside, is good for equity markets.
Undoubtedly. So this is the Skulk point of view. I mean, I put the graph out. Declining interest rates will be good. And I do think that the way Powell handled this, I mean, I often said that they, you know, inflation, you know, interest rate won't really make a, you know, massive effect. Mm-hmm. We can debate that. But I think the fact that they are really, really conservative in the way they're doing, they are waiting for this 2.5%. Well, we're there now. They're going to most probably do a quarter of a percentage, do another quarter of a percentage, and just get the market to settle. And like you said, what you've actually, you know, told us is a soft landing. We will most probably see a soft landing.
I think so. I mean, the China news is baked in already. American jobs and growth sluggishness, not so much growth, but jobs. It's part of the cycle, but it's not going to be dramatic. Skulk, let's have maybe a quick one on Supergroup. I don't know if you watched that one, but it's numbers. A quick minute on that one if you've got it. If not, then we'll pass on to the markets.
Yeah, Supergroup. I had a quick glance on Supergroup. When I look at this, they've grown, they've revenue. That didn't look too bad. When we look at the earnings decrease by 97%, and there goes the share price down 7%. Not a good. I mean, when we look at the positives out there, they actually said that the weakening rand, that helped them. Well, we know that's not going to be the case now because we see the rand actually improving. So I think in general, not the best set of results in terms of how they manage the company over the time. But as I mentioned, not a company that I'm really following.
Okay, good. Well said. Right, now let's have a look at the markets. Dollar rand, 17.93. British pound against the rand is 23.35. The euro rand is 1974, euro dollar 110.10. And the British pound against the US dollar is 130, almost on the nose. Gold price? It's okay. It's back above 2,500, which is gratifying because it wasn't so a couple of days ago. 2,512, which has barely changed on the day. Platinum, 959, which is up 19. And palladium up 39 to 999. Call the police in England. And that's a 4% move to the upside. When it comes to other commodities, and I've been fascinated by oil over the last 10 days, it's gone from 90 to below 70 this year. Which is a huge move. So I think at the current level for Brent crude of $69.45, we are technically in a bear crude oil market. It's up slightly today by 0.4%, but it's still $69.45 for Brent crude. And West Texas crude, $66.27, up 0.8% today, but a horrible weekly and monthly and yearly performance. Natural gas is up a little bit, copper's up a little bit, but nothing else to speak of. Let's have a look at the South African 10-year. Don't forget we've got a Reserve Bank meeting next week, 9.17. The US 10-year, after that inflation data of 2.5% for CPI, 3.63%, which is a pretty good move to the downside for the yield. S&P 500 futures recovering a bit, actually. They were down over 1.5%, down 1.2% at the moment at 5,438. And Bitcoin is 56,100 and a bit, which is down 1.3%. Market movers today, Scalp. You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Do I go first?
I told you. You show me yours first, and then I'll.
Well, we had Amplats, which we have already discussed.
Yeah.
A few companies that did stand out in terms of, well, when I say a few companies, a massive list in terms of exits. So, Italtel might probably stand out as a drop, but they had a dividend and a special dividend. Supergroup, we've already discussed. Coronation, they also had a ex-div. So, Sibanye-Stillwater, no ex-div. So, And APSA again, negative, 5% ex-div story. So, today, would most people be one of those days? If you see a massive drop in the share price, you would most probably need to go and look at the dividends.
Yeah, so the ones that have fallen on merit or rather demerit, Sibanye down 5.3%, Anglo American Platinum down 11.1%. Corporate activity, of course, involved there, but people just don't like it. And I love it when people don't like things because that means that I start to get interested and like it. 507 Rand per share. Quite extraordinary.
I think that's a buy.
I think it is. This is not a recommendation from either Scalc at PSG Wealth or Lindsay Williams from wherever he is.
I don't own it.
I don't own it either. But it really looks in my virtual portfolio as though I should be buying it. On the upside, property. High Prop up 3.5%. Kumba Ayanur up 2.9%. Premier up 2.6%. Mass, another property company, up 1.5%, and Vukile up 1.4% as well. Closing indices, please, Skull, and value traded, of course.
So just for those wondering what the whole Hyperop story is, they came out with a trading statement today.
Yeah,
clearly had the market quite excited. They mentioned the dividend per share, of approximately R2.80. Like mentioned, that definitely had the market quite excited. When we look at the JSE today, JSE closed 80,828 points. That is down 1%. Top 40 closed 73,223 points, also down 1.1%. Resources, they had a very, very bad day, 1.2% down, but not the worst. The worst came from the financial sector. Financial sector were down 1.6%, while the industrial sector were down 41 basis points. And this is sort of a trend that we've been getting used to, because as mentioned, end of last month, the SA Property Index were up over 1 year, over 38% year to date, close to 24% up. And since then, we've seen that the equity market, or locals as well as the offshore equity market, has given back quite a bit of performance that they made in August. Yet the property sector they're just going from strength to strength, and today was no different. Today they closed up 39 basis points in the market that were really looking bad. When we look at the value traded not too bad, $23 billion for today.
Very good, the
highest trading day for the past week. So
You can interpret that in a couple of ways, but $23 billion, pretty good. Next week we'll look at the JSE Limited, what its share price is doing, which is also a fascinating subject in its own right. Skulk, thank you very much for your time this evening. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.